Hi, I'm Heather DeRose.
And I'm Antonio DeRose.
And this is the Greenhouse Healthy Podcast, where we discuss plant medicines, fitness, and wellness for ourselves and our planet. Today, we're speaking with Leah Holz. Leah is a cannabis blogger, plant-based recipe developer, and fitness enthusiast currently living in Fort Myers, Florida. In 2016, while at the peak of her physical fitness, Leah incurred a series of mysterious connective tissue injuries, which sidelined her athletics and changed her life. Shortly after, she was diagnosed with hypermobility spectrum disorder with high probability of Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, a genetic condition identified by faulty collagen production resulting in chronic injuries and joint weaknesses. Determined to rebuild her life, she utilized her experience in the medical cannabis industry and her passion for vegan cooking to nourish her body, regain strength, and rebuild her mindset one day at a time. Leah now chronicles her journey navigating the challenges of chronic pain by implementing medical cannabis and a plant-based vegan diet at LeahLovesLettuce.com. By opening an honest dialogue about her experiences, she hopes to bring inspiration and hope to others who have been sidelined by health challenges to stay active and live their best lives.
Now, before we get started, I'd like to thank this episode's sponsor, the Cannabis Science Conference. The Cannabis Science Conference is the world's largest and fastest growing cannabis science event. Their events have a specialized focus on analytical science, medical topics in cannabis, cultivation, and hemp science. Their conference pulls together cannabis industry experts, instrument manufacturers, testing labs, research scientists, medical practitioners, policymakers, and interested novices. Their semi-annual event is aimed at improving cannabis science. Join us in Baltimore, Maryland this June and July, in Portland, Oregon in August, September for exciting conferences with keynotes, presentations, roundtable discussions, and exhibits. Get your tickets today at CannabisScienceConference.com.
Welcome, Leah. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much. Absolutely. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, we're excited to learn more about your journey. What can you tell us about your journey with the conditions, hypermobility spectrum disorder with Ehlers-Danlos syndrome?
It's been quite a road. So I was formally diagnosed with this about 2.5 years ago. I was living in Boulder, Colorado at the time. And as you mentioned, I was at the peak of my physical fitness. I was a trail runner. I climbed. I did yoga, hot yoga. I did boxing, all sorts of stuff. I was very into my athletics. And I also dabbled in vegan cooking and plant-based medicines at that time. And I worked in the cannabis industry. So I thought I was doing everything right. I was the healthiest I had ever been. But as a kid, I was an overweight kid. I was about 250 pounds in high school. So I had lost 100 pounds, you know, through my adoption of plant-based medicine and plant-based eating and such. And all of a sudden, I tore tendons all over my body, like tissue paper. The first one was I broke my hip while doing yoga, did a simple yoga pose I'd done 100 times, and a ball to hip flexor, which landed me in the hospital. And that injury wouldn't heal. It was a very, very long road. It was about 6 months before I actually started seeing healing, and no one could tell me what was going on. And during that recovery, I was using a walker. I was using all sorts of things with my hands, you know, to support my weight. Then I ended up tearing 2 tendons in my right hand and 1 tendon in my left hand by driving my car and reaching for a book while laying in bed. So something was obviously wrong at this point. Over the next year, I tore tendons in my neck, in my feet, in all over my body. And it got to the point where doctors were turning me away. You know, I was going to see all sorts of different specialists and no one could tell me what I had. So this was devastating, obviously, because I was an athlete prior to that. So my whole life changed. And then I was at physical therapy one day. And the physical therapist said, have you ever considered looking at Ehlers-Danlos syndrome? Because apparently I had all of the symptoms of it. So I started reading about it and light bulbs flashing everywhere. All of a sudden, symptoms that I had had since I was a kid that made no sense started to make sense. So I did see a doctor. Ehlers-Danlos is very difficult to diagnose because it's sort of a spectrum of disorders that are genetic, and it presents in everyone very differently. And some people it can be maybe just one or two joints. And some people, it's the digestive system or the skin. And in my case, it's all over my body in numerous systems. So I was diagnosed as being hypermobile spectrum disorder with high probability of Ehlers-Danlos. And then shortly thereafter, lost my insurance because I lost my job as a result of it. So it's been a long road. But it landed me in Florida because I ended up losing my ability to work. So I had to move in with my parents at 30 years old, which was pretty crazy. But it was a blessing in disguise because Florida has a really beautiful, thriving medical cannabis scene. And as soon as I came down here and started actually treating the condition for what it was and being a little bit gentler with my exercise, I started to see improvement. So since then, I've just been using plant-based medicines and gentle exercise to try to get my body back to where it was before or to be the best that I can be. So
nice. Yeah. I'm glad to hear you're doing, you know, a little bit better. And you mentioned you were a vegan plant-based diet when you were living in Boulder. Can you tell us a little bit more about how you started that, or have you always been a plant-based diet?
So I've been fascinated by plant-based diets since I was a kid. When I first started losing the initial weight when I was younger, I grew up in the Midwest, you know, and it was all about cheese and cookouts and burgers. And I grew up in the 80s and 90s. So that was well before the internet, or the internet as it is today. We just didn't have the information, you know, at our fingertips that we have now. So I did not know that food had anything to do with wellness, as silly as that sounds, until I was in high school. And I ended up picking up a book on, I think it was like vegetarian eating or something like that, and lost 40 pounds in 3 months, because that's what happens when you're 18 and you adopt a different eating style. And then I went back and forth for many years, kind of up and down, until I eventually lost about 100 pounds. And that was sort of the beginning of the journey, because on that journey, I started to realize that symptoms that I had and food allergies that I had had that, you know, in the Midwest at that time, we just sort of considered part of eating. You know, you eat and then you feel bloated afterwards. That's just a normal part of eating. And turned out I had a gluten intolerance, you know. I had allergies to different medications that I was taking. And once I really started to educate myself on the way that the body works, the way the digestive system works, and how you can utilize plant-based natural foods to put your body in a state of being more alkaline rather than acidic, I started to see a lot of different results that were pretty great. So I carried that on in Boulder. I was very, very strict about my diet. I only ate things that came from the farmer's market that I knew were sourced or grown, you know, by farms that I knew personally. In Florida, it's a little bit more difficult, but I've maintained that for the most part here. And I went vegan I've been on and off vegan for many years, but I've been strictly vegan for, about 6 months, I think. Prior to that, I ate, you know, like maybe a little bit of eggs or butter here and there to supplement with protein, but now I'm 100% vegan, so.
Nice. You have any questions?
No.
Oh, okay. And when your journey began with plant medicines, were there any stigmas that you had to overcome before you started using cannabis? Or how did that relationship get started?
Absolutely. I think, between the two, you know, when you're talking about veganism, there's a joke that people tell. How do you know someone's vegan? Don't worry, they'll tell you, right?
I've heard that one a couple of times.
So there's certainly judgments, you know, around any alternative lifestyle, I think. When it comes to cannabis, I didn't explore cannabis until I was about 25. I'm 36 now. I was always surrounded by it. I just wrote an article actually on my blog about my first experience with someone close to me who smoked cannabis and how it really taught me more about what it is. But I never was bothered by cannabis at all. I just didn't utilize it until I had a need for it. And when I did, it was interesting to my family because I was always the more well-behaved kid who never experimented with drugs or anything like that. And then suddenly I'm 25 living in Boulder, Colorado, working in the medical cannabis industry, and my poor parents are just pulling their hair out, not sure what to make of all of it. So there was, you know, there was some education to be had. And once my family and people around me started seeing the results that I was getting from using cannabis, you know, I wasn't running off and joining the circus. Not that there's anything wrong with that. That's pretty awesome as far as I'm concerned. But I was, you know, I was holding down a day job. I was waking up without pain. I was running more than I ever had in my life. And over the years, you know, it became a lot easier. Now I actually have a passion speaking to people who are new to this or new to any type of plant medicine to help educate, because I think that's really where we begin breaking down the stigma, is just simply putting information out there that's true.
Yeah. And using it for athletics as well, you consume before, during, after, how does that look?
So it depends on the strain. When I was younger, in my 20s, my joints were a little bit more limber, and my favorite thing was to get up in the morning, smoke a joint, and then run up a mountain. That was my favorite thing. I felt that it helped me focus. It helped me just pay better attention to, you know, because trail running is a very active sport. It's very mental. So it just really kind of drew me in and focused me and got rid of a lot of the pain associated, you know, with recovery. Mm-hmm. Now I can't do more than about a 1-to-1 THC strain. And so I'll smoke afterwards for recovery. I use CBD every single day, as you know, a way to get rid of inflammation. And I find that it also just helps me enjoy exercise a lot more, because I have a lot of chronic joint pain, and it can be very difficult to get up in the morning, and when you're feeling crappy, you know, to convince yourself to work out, to convince yourself to do PT. And now if I'm having trouble, I use a high CBD strain and I just kind of smoke that and get myself in a good mental space and say, okay, we're going to do this, body, come on, this is what we're doing today.
So you said you consume a lot of CBD, and you just mentioned that you consume like high CBD strains of flower. Are there any other methods of consumption that you choose to consume?
Yes, I really like tinctures as well. I use those at night to sleep. And I also use a good amount of topicals. I joke with people at my last job that I bathe in topicals before I come to work, because they really keep your joints stable and keep the pain down to a minimum as well, especially if you're doing a lot of biking or a lot of running, that sort of thing.
And what are your thoughts on the cannabis industry compared to Colorado down in Florida?
It's so interesting state to state to see the differences. I learned that Florida based a lot of their laws off of Colorado laws. And so there is a synergy there, because you know, just having worked in dispensaries and such, the way that they do things and the platforms that they use are very similar. But it was a shock, you know, coming from a state where, you know, consuming cannabis for medical or recreational purposes is the norm. You know, it's like having a glass of wine. It's like taking an Advil. And I didn't experience a lot of judgment out there or anything like that. Here, it's interesting. Most people are very open to it. I live in a retirement community, and so it's, you know, it's a more mature population. But surprisingly, almost everyone has questions. If I go out into the community with my laptop and I have my cannabis stuff and I'm writing and, you know, doing work, almost inevitably someone will come up and ask me a question about what I'm doing and want to learn. What are these CBDs? What is this? How do I implement this? You know, so it's dynamic. I feel like it's where Colorado was maybe in about 2009, 2010, where people are very thirsty for knowledge. There's not this saturation in the market so much of, well, we're also vertically integrated, so you have fewer dispensaries and fewer voices out there. But it's, I like how dynamic it is. I like how curious people are. There's certainly a stigma around THC more so than Colorado. People like to separate the recreational from the medical aspects of the plant. And that's difficult to get used to, that separation, because I felt like in Colorado, they were more unified in that way. But
yeah. Do they have a little bit of like a structure on THC limits and then who can receive which limits in Florida right now?
It's a similar medical recommendation as you have in Colorado, but the doctor can recommend you for different routes of administration. And for example, if you're recommended for just medical marijuana, for example, you might not necessarily have smokable marijuana. So then you'd have to go back to your doctor and ask for that recommendation. I'm not sure what they start you off with. I had everything, you know, to begin with, because I was pretty vocal with my doctor, but yeah, there's, the doctor's appointments are pretty involved, which is nice.
Yeah, that's good. And then let's talk a little bit about your blog. Can you tell us a little bit more about what inspired you to start sharing your story and your recipes and other things you've learned?
Sure. I think in general, I just wanted to provide a resource and share. No one ever really talks about when you have significant injuries, especially if you're a person who valued highly your physical movement before the injury. It's very psychologically challenging. Of course, it's challenging on a physical level, but to have your identity shifted and put into question that much is really hard. You know, for me, running was, it was something that brought me joy. It was something that I used to cope. It was everything to me. And then having that taken away and suddenly finding that I may never be able to do it again, or I may never be able to, I was a musician. I'm a musician. So losing, you know, some mobility in my hands was very traumatic. And then having doctors tell you, oh, well, you might have to be put in a wheelchair by the time you're 50. We don't know. This presents differently. It's very challenging. So I think for many years, I became a not so great version of myself in my pursuit to just cope and in my attempts to get knowledge, because, you know, between doctor's appointments and the challenges that existed there, with many doctors just turn you away because they don't know what this is, or they'll tell you that, excuse me, that you're imagining things, you know. I wanted to provide a resource for anyone who had gone through something similar to me to say, hey, this is what I went through. This is how I got through it. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a trainer. I'm not a medical professional by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm a person and these have been my experiences and you're not alone. If I can provide that resource for one person, I feel like I've done my job. And also it's become a passion of mine, you know, just sort of pursuing my wellness in a different way, you know, rather than trying to be this big strong athlete. I'm just trying to get through the world and move through the world in a comfortable way. So
that's amazing. I guess, yeah.
And you do an awesome job at your food photography. Besides designing some recipes and getting into more of a plant-based lifestyle, what made you want to start capturing the art of food?
Oh, well, honestly, it was because I couldn't use my hands. I couldn't paint anymore and I couldn't play guitar anymore. So I had moved in with my parents down here in Florida, and my mother's a cook. She had a beautiful kitchen. But the one artistic avenue that I had was to hold a camera above food. You know, I'd have my mother help me chop things, and then I would design the recipe. We would plate it together, and then I would go out on their beautiful lanai and take all these photographs. And it was inspiring. I had never done any sort of photography before, so it was a really nice outlet while I was recovering. And then afterwards, I just kind of kept up with it.
That's great. That's
awesome. Yeah, very beautiful pictures. Makes me want to try all your recipes.
Are there any foods that you enjoy cooking with the most?
Yeah, I love chickpeas. If you go on my page, that's all you'll see. I make jokes that I have a serious problem. But I love chickpeas because they're so versatile. You can take them and throw them in a blender and make, you know, add a little bit of coconut sugar and some other ingredients and make sweet hummus, which, you know, seems like cookie dough. You can roast them up and eat them on top of salads. They're, for me, a great source of protein and energy. I love cooking with those, and I love smoothie bowls as well. Fruit is very light and energizing and easy to digest for me, and so I do a lot with fruits.
Nice.
I also remember that you mentioned you do a lot of light exercises now. What sort of exercises are you doing today? Not necessarily
today,
this day, but in general.
In general. I've been doing a lot of Pilates, I can't really do yoga anymore because I'm a weirdo. Every time I do yoga, I get injured. Everybody else I know does yoga to relax. But, you know, extending muscles is not something that's good for my body. So I do a lot of stability exercises. If I'm doing yoga, it's more stability poses. I used to hoist big heavy weights around and wonder why I was having so many problems. And now I don't go above 10 pounds ever. I do very slow movements using very light weights. And I focus a lot on just body weight and stability. I recently started biking, which has been a huge, huge accomplishment for me. Not something I thought I'd be able to do again. Turns out I was a pretty weak runner, but I'm a pretty good cyclist so far. So see how that goes.
That's awesome. Yeah, you recently joined our Greenhouse Healthy Charity Miles team. Thank you for doing that.
Yes. Thank
you. We're happy to have you on the team.
It's very fun. I'm glad you guys did that too.
Thanks. What is something you've changed your mind about throughout your life? And can you tell us a little bit more about why?
Yeah. In terms of cannabis and plant-based medicine, I guess sharing my story around it. For many years, my friends knew me as the girl, oh, Leah eats so well. Leah takes such good care of herself. But I thought of that just as normal maintenance. I didn't think of it as something that could provide value to others to talk about. And also my cannabis use, you know, it's always difficult when, you know, you don't want to upset grandma. You don't want to rock the boat, you know, if you have family or connections that have a stigma around it. But I don't know, after all the injuries and after all that, I sort of came out of it with a new perspective of my life and decided, you know what, I'm going to start talking about this stuff and see who I can connect with and see what kind of communities are there to engage with.
That's awesome.
What sort of advice would you give someone else who maybe isn't as comfortable sharing their story about how to kind of get started?
People come around. They come around with time. Human beings, in my experience, do not change their opinion in response to demand. We don't change our opinions because someone tells us to. We change our opinions because we observe. We observe something or another person having a positive experience, and then we become curious and we decide to educate ourselves. Mm-hmm. So I think the best thing you can do is just lead by example. There's always going to be negative voices, especially when it comes to being yourself or doing something that is very much in alignment with your identity. If it's different than other people, there's always going to be somebody talking. People talk, you know, but I think the important thing is to just keep pushing forward, keep doing what you know in your mind and your heart is good for you. And the people that love you will come around eventually. It took my mother almost 10 years. I don't know if she'd be happy telling you guys that. But it, understandably, you know, she was concerned about my health and my wellness and my future development. She didn't want me to be delving into something that was unhealthy. And so it took her some time to be brave enough, you know, to explore this on her own and do some research. And after many years, she finally came around and now she's completely open to it. So
that's
just takes some time.
Great.
Yeah. Is there any one particular thing you think that she might have read or maybe just seeing your personal experience and how, you know, you shared information with her that kind of changed her mind a little bit?
She would always tell me a story about her first time smoking pot. Mm-hmm. She was very young. She was on her way to babysit. And she said, you know, I took one hit of a joint and then I could barely cross the street. And I got to, you know, the place to babysit the kids. And I fell asleep and anything could have happened. It was so irresponsible. And I would always tell the same thing. Well, number one, you were very young. You were underage. You shouldn't have been consuming cannabis anyway. Number two, you should never consume cannabis and try to cross the street if you're not used to it. Number three, you shouldn't be supervising children. So I think, you know, just breaking things down logically and showing my family that I was a logical human being, you know, having them see that the horror stories that they'd heard about people who consume cannabis doing all these terrible things wasn't happening with me in my life. Just leading by example, I guess, you know.
That's awesome.
How did they feel about you going vegan?
Oh, it's constant confusion. My mom is an incredible cook. I'm always telling her, you got to start your own Instagram page because your mouth would just water if you see the things that she makes up. But she's, you know, meat and potatoes. I'm veggies and beans. Mm-hmm. And when I was living with them for the 6 months that I lived with them, you know, my mom and my stepdad would make their food, and then they would kind of look at what I was eating, and they'd be like, just potatoes. That's it. Just potatoes and greens. That's all you want. And I'd be like, well, this is what makes me feel good. Mm-hmm. So there's, you know, I get teased here and there, but they're also very respectful. People around me in my life, I think, you know, again, they see the positive change that it's had for me. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I don't mind if people want to ask questions or even kind of poke fun here and there, because I feel like that's the first step to understanding something. So if I have to, you know, put myself in that position of explaining how these things help people, and who knows, maybe they'll, you know, gain some benefit from it later.
Yeah, for sure. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about, or what else can others look forward to on Leah's, what is it? I'm sorry.
Leah loves lettuce.
Leah loves lettuce. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Well, I guess what I'm trying to do right now is partner with different industry professionals, different patients, you know, people who have unique and inspiring stories. And I'm telling those stories. I also love to go into topics that are not necessarily comfortable to talk about, but that people are curious about. You know, like I talk a lot about the stigma on cannabis. I write about cannabis and sex because that's something no one wants to talk about when you have an injury and how that can affect, you know, your identity in that way. So I kind of like to, I don't like to skirt around topics. I like to just be direct and talk about the interesting things that people are afraid to ask about. So you can look forward to more of that in the future.
That's awesome. Nice. And so people can check you out on LeahLovesLettuce.com. And then what are some other social handles?
I'm on Facebook, Leah Loves Lettuce. I am on Instagram as Leah Loves Lettuce. And I think, and on LinkedIn, but I think that's just Leah Holse right now.
Awesome.
Nice.
Well, thank you so much, Leah. Thanks for joining
me. Thank you so much.
It was great having you on the show.
Absolutely. You guys have-